All right. Well, welcome everybody. And I suppose it's easier when I can see you, but I guess I'll just talk to you. There's just other people who aren't here now, so I want to make sure that these recordings, which are going to live in the Community U library, are a little more ready to go. Okay. And today we're going to actually, for those of you who are on the first call or who have watched the first video in the series that we did with Suzanne Fagel about how to build a class. So today we're going to kind of, if we're going to review that class, we're going to actually go through what we learned on that call, but in terms of we were making this class, and so this is where I then took the work that we did with her and then created a class from it. And I love this picture that I can do it. And one of the things that this whole wind work is about is that we have to really learn to navigate the winds in our life, because resistance is always standing there. There's always, unless you're in the doldrums where nothing's moving, which is a whole other place, there's always resistance. And so it's the resistance that's our greatest teacher if we decide to go into it and dance with it and then actually learn what it's informing us. So I wanted to first review the Community University concept and the Learn to Fly program, because I kind of just launched it one day, and now we're here and kind of heading towards month two. And people can sign up and take any one of these classes, and my suggestion is to do them in 3 month increments, because it's hard to kind of just drop in and see what kind of progress you're making. And one of the things, oh yeah, make sure you have a pad and paper for later. And hold on, why am I going backwards? All right. So later you're going to do some writing. So if this would be a good time if you need to get a pen and paper to get that and to keep your computer on so you can hear me talking. But so the Community University is structured like this. It's all about having a place to offer tools to help you build your community. Now you might say, well, I'm working on my website, so this isn't relevant. Well, it's all relevant, because the same skills you need when you are writing a 1 hour class is the same things that you're going to be putting on your website. And it's the same things that you're going to be working on when you have a ceremony to offer your community, or if you're doing one-on-one coaching. All of the skills basically are skill sets that people learn. So for example, next month when Stephanie Gunning, she's the best-selling author, editor, coach extraordinaire on writing a book. I mean, she could see my book long before I could see my book. So this idea that, well, I'm not writing a book, but yes, you're writing a script for your life. You're writing new beliefs, what we're doing today. And so all of these are really relevant. And so you're going to learn a lot from each person. Plus, she knows a ton about building a platform, which is key. One thing that I realized last week was I was talking to somebody, one of the people who has upped the level and is doing private coaching, and I was explaining how that your email list is still key. Your email list is crucial. Social media, Facebook, I just was reading an article this week where they locked out somebody who had launched this whole new bot program. And, he could not access Facebook for a day or a week, whatever it was. But I know lots of people, my good friend Lori Lothian, she's been blocked out of Facebook. I mean, she had built up a page to about 50,000 people, and they shut it down and it was gone. So you don't have, nobody can take your email list. So in this, that tool just becomes a place where we start to communicate on that. So all of these business trainings are about how I built a platform, how I got a book contract, how I've built this community university. And so we're going to do it in two trainings per month. One's based on some business tools that you may think that you need now, or you may want to get access to them later. And then one healing to show you how to show up better for your business. We have two check-ins, great check-ins every week, and they're set up at consistent times, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And both of these facilitators, Liliana and I guess I won't make this evergreen if I say Bridget's name, but they've committed to doing these for this time frame, and they've also taken the Wind Mastery program. And I'll tell about the Wind Mastery program in just a minute, because a lot of you, I think, came here thinking this was the Wind Mastery program, but this is to augment the Wind Mastery program. So we're building a library and updating as we go. Like, one thing is, one of you took the gratitude challenge, just a 30-day gratitude challenge. And one of the things that I realized, which could be advantageous for your business, is that when I built the gratitude challenge, it was time sensitive. It was like, here is the time. Well, I just had to pay my editor this week to go through and make it evergreen. And evergreen means that if you click on it a year from now, it's still going to be relevant. Now, I might want to go up and update some of the modules, but it doesn't talk about my book launching next week or any of those things. So when you're building a program, which is still, this is the building the program module, you want to think about it being evergreen. For example, my vision board workshop, when I first did it online, I had one person listening, and she still follows, you know, she's still a Wind believer. And we're talking about, I did this 8-10 years ago, and it's been the most widely shared program in my whole arsenal on my website. 57,000 times it's been shared. So you don't know, like, that you only have one person or four people or six people, what tools you're building for your later program. So that's about the library. So now I'm taking all of these telesummits and all of these things that I've spent thousands of dollars and countless hours building and putting them in this library so that you'll have access to the Insider's Guide to Peru, for example, which we recorded many years ago, still just as relevant today. Then, you know, there's an option in this for a one-to-one coaching upgrade. And, you know, I gave it a pretty good price because I charge a lot more for my 12-week program. I think the going right now is $3,500. And and it gives you an additional 1-hour call a month and unlimited email support. So plus the other thing is you have an option to share your own work in a safe platform. So say you want to try out a program, I'm giving you the opportunity, or, you know, this community university, and I changed the name of the Facebook group today, gives you an opportunity to try it out there and maybe in the Wind Clan if we discuss it. But first I want to see what it is in the Wind Mastery group before I introduce it to the Wind Clan group. Because one of the things that I became clear on this week is that I really need to write programs for the Wind Mastery program that other people may want to teach. Then your input and interest guides the monthly presentation. Right now we have a couple of chefs, so maybe they want to have something else. We're not sure yet, but because we're just learning. And let's see, I can't see with this last one. Oh, I already talked about Stephanie Gunning. So what Community University is not, it's not the Wind Mastery program. We have a spring and a fall 5-week program that deepens the dive into the self-mastery through the Wind Mastery tools. And I just got the copy back from the copywriter, and it's really brilliant. And I want to thank all the people who have taken the Wind Mastery class, who've given input into what it is so that she could better understand it. And the Wind Mastery is a set of tools, and it's a set of tools that I'm developing. And so the spring class has been offered 3 or 4 times now, and the fall class, the same thing. And that happens, the sign-up launch starts with the spring equinox, and it's a wonderful program, and everyone who's taken it has grown tremendously. This is not a do-it-for-you approach. So the way that it's built is that community you. So this means you need to get involved with the community if you want to grow. If you don't, you won't. It's that simple. All right. And I said today I changed the name of the group so that the Win Mastery groups, the spring and the fall, will have separate Win group, a different group. So what is a belief? I loved this definition. When we use our beliefs to make decisions, we are assuming the causal relationship between something of the past, which led to the belief, will also apply to the future. Now, the other day on the Shaman's Cave, I hope you all got to see it on Worthiness. I think it's a really valuable program about self-worth. And Sandra and I both talking about our own self-worth issues. And we both had a similar experience about, you know, the wind coming to see me and the soul retrieval book coming to see her. And that we both were told that, hey, if not you, somebody else. So if not you to develop this program, you're thinking about somebody else is going to do it first. And you're going to be sitting on the sidelines yet again watching. So in a lot of the time that we can't make this jump is because of a belief that we hold, an assumption that we hold to be true. And this week, you know, that we had pre-recorded our calls and we're getting ready to go live, but I hadn't listened to my own exercise. And so this week when we were listening to it, I was able to actually do the wind exercise that I shared. And I saw this belief jump out in front of me that's been impacting my life, and it's been impacting my life for a long time. And so my life has changed and everything around me has changed because this is a rapidly changing world where think complexity is increasing day by day, but we've also been given tools to weave our way through that complexity if we want to use them. And we can meet our needs, but if we don't know that we have this limiting belief, then we're sourcing all of our information from it. And they're contextual and they arise from learned experiences, but we can change them. And so this is the part where I'm gonna have you actually do this exercise. And let me just check in with people here. So let me tell you what it is first, and then I'll check in and see if there's any questions. So the recent example was relationships. And the idea that came to me the other day was that, you know, my friends have reinforced this belief that I probably wouldn't be easy to live with and nobody could share space with me and all of this stuff. And so from that idea that I really love my own private space and I probably don't really see myself moving in with anyone, I've kind of come to this idea that, you know, maybe relationships aren't for me in this life and that I'm going to be alone. Well, when I did this and had Madame Feng Popo take this, or Vayu, I think it was Vayu, take this, it was like, wow, isn't that an interesting belief that I'm living with, that I probably can't have a relationship. And another one that happened was when I was 30 and I was sitting on my stoop painting. My mother called and she asked me what I was doing. And I said, well, I'm painting. And she said, well, you were never very creative. And the truth was we had a misunderstanding about what a picture was that I painted. And so I took that probably at 7 and lived my life up until the time I was 30 with this belief that I wasn't creative. Meanwhile, I was one of the most successful and popular chefs in all of Central New York, which is all about creativity. So one of the things that you get an opportunity to do, and because you're members, you can go back and listen to this a number of times, is to discover the deepest belief that you're living. And what does that mean? So that you identify the deepest, broadest, and most encompassing belief that you have about life. And how you know it's this important is it explains how you live your life, make decisions in your life, and how your life is working or not working based on this. And so this idea of aloneness for me is, so, you know, I make all my decisions myself. So what does that mean? And it's, there's like, I could write down a lot about it. So what you're going to do now, and then we're going to share after you do it. So we're going to take like maybe 5 minutes to do this. All right. And just if you have any questions, raise your hand right now. But you're going to write down how and where you do not live your life or make decisions in your life according to this belief. Okay. So that's a tricky one. So one of my beliefs was that I was going to be a best-selling author. And at the time when I carried this belief to the core, I wasn't writing. I thought about that I should be writing, but I wasn't writing. So if I'm going to be a best-selling author and I believe that, and that's how I was living my entire life, would I have to had to make a decision to write every day? So it's kind of an idea. Either you're living your life based on your deepest belief about life or you don't. It's kind of that simple. You always do or you always don't. Rarely does anyone do one thing. So you have to look in your life in accordance to this deepest belief and where you don't. And if you look, you're going to find examples of both. All right? So write down what you think your biggest belief is about your life. And a lot of you might think, like, I believe that I'm here to do an important, I'm here to do important work. That was a big one. I used to always think I'm here to be famous. I'm going to be famous. And you know, what is fame? What is fame anyway? But when I started to deconstruct that belief about I'm here to be famous and I stopped tracking and chasing the fame, you know, it showed up in new and different ways. Does anyone have any questions, or are you good to be writing what you think that belief is? And some of you might have gotten it from working on your cards or from hearing what Suzanne said last call. And you can remember, you can go back and do this. So we're talking about the deepest belief that controls your life. And I know my deepest belief for most of my life was that I'm here to do something important and be famous. Maybe it was infamous. If you're ready to share, you can raise your hand or unmute yourself. I'm just going to pick on a couple of people once you're ready to share, because sometimes it's really important to hear out loud what we are telling ourselves. And where would I like to see this continue this week is that in the check-in calls, that you can share your insights, because there's real freedom that comes in sharing with another who's supportive of our efforts. And so I really hope that everyone gets on one of these calls or even makes an impromptu, hey, who's got time to share their beliefs on the wall type of conversation and hop on a call, you know, through Facebook or whatever to call each other. You know, this is our group. Is anyone ready to share what their belief is? I think I'm going to pick on somebody.
Sorry, I had it on mute. Okay. If I'm understanding this correctly, what came up is that I never get what I want when I want it, and I'm bad for wanting it.
So your belief is that you're never going to get what you want.
Mm-hmm. And that it's wrong for me to want it.
Well, I think that's probably a sub factor of that, but the belief would be that I'm never going to get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that, for me, it would be, then I make myself wrong for wanting it because, damn, I'm never going to get it anyway. Why bother wanting it? So then ask yourself, so if I'm never going to get what I want, so then what we want to think is like, okay, that, let's go back to the other page, is that, so where in your life have you made decisions? Bridget, get unmuted.
My dogs keep barking, so that's why I'm trying to.
So where in your life have you made a decision just recently, just come up with one, where you live according to this belief that you're not going to ever get what you want?
Well, there's a trip that I want to take to Teotihuacan, Mexico, and it's the fourth year it's been offered, and the application came up, and I didn't apply because, you know, even though I really want it, like, what's the cost? Like, I'm always looking at the, and I don't just mean the financial cost, I mean, like, the cost to my people, like my husband, my kids. And so to me, it seems completely unreasonable to even try.
Okay, so in this case, you don't fill out applications.
Mm-hmm. I don't even make an effort, yeah.
Right, so you just, like, throw away the effort. What do you do, and I suppose that could be the thing of what you do, the non-activity. So what do you do to reinforce this belief that you're never going to get what you want? I don't fill out the application. I put everything else first. I just surprised you didn't take yourself off the mailing list so you didn't get the application next year.
Well, and the funny thing is you say, what is it that I do? I blame others. That's really the result, is I'm blaming everyone else.
Right. It's their fault.
Mm-hmm.
I know that blame game is, you know, like they say, whenever there's a finger pointing out, there's four pointing back at myself. Mm-hmm. So good. So, all right. So you're kind of getting the point of this. So just sit with that deepest belief is that I'm never going to get what I want. Okay. And see, just be with that. Does somebody else want to share one?
I do, Liliana.
Okay.
I think for me, service equals sacrifice.
Oh, that so, one.
So, yes. So, because I grew up with a huge sense of service, it feels like in my business, it used to, not as much anymore. I just needed to show up and be of service. And if they couldn't pay, maybe I needed to give them a break. Or I always needed to be available for other people's needs.
That's okay, right. So where in your life are you not living in accordance to this?
Well, it feels like for right now, it's almost like my work equals compensation, and to dream that my work, that doesn't, my money doesn't have to be related to my work is different. Like I feel like I work and then I get paid versus dreaming that can be more abundant without me having to directly do something.
So that service equals sacrifice. Now, so here's a good point what you're making. So that's a real tricky thing when you're a therapist, because that's paid for hours business.
Right.
Service is what you're doing when you show up every week for the Learn to Fly program, when you're showing up in service to other people. So in some ways, are you, maybe you're starting to shift that. So are you sacrificing, does, so when you show up in service to that, how does that feel?
I feel more whole, I feel more grounded. So a little less of, I need it to be, in spite of how I am, I'm taking care of myself better.
Good. So that becomes one of the things, is so when you know where you're giving of service, then it doesn't spill over into everything.
Right.
And so that's a great one to work with, because, you know, when you're working for service, like when you're a waitress, you get paid. You know, when I'm coaching, I get paid. I expect to get paid. And, you know, I used to have that fine line, but shifting into that belief that service equals sacrifice, that's a great one to work for. I'm sure other people here have that as well. Thank you. Can we hear from one more?
I'll go.
Who's this? Cheryl? Okay.
So my belief is that I'm not sure if I'm ever going to find actually what I want to do. What I do now, I've been a holistic chef for a long time, and for the last 10 years, I've been calling myself a health coach. And I think the whole food as medicine system that I've been following for myself, now I believe that it should have been kept for myself, that it wasn't what I was meant to share with people, that was just for my own growth. And just because I did it, should I have put it out there for someone else? Like, so many people fall on this, you know, this diet worked for me, so it's going to work for everybody. And I feel like I've kind of fallen into that, and I don't believe that's the right thing, I don't know if I should say the right thing to do or the right thing for people to believe.
So let's go. I think that's not exact the belief here. Okay. So maybe it worked for you for 10 years, but we're looking for something even deeper, like what do you believe about your soul's purpose here on Earth?
That's where I'm lost. So I, over the years, I started.
Not what is it, but what do you believe about it? There's a difference. Do you believe you're here to do something valuable? Do you believe that you know, you're just here to trip through life? What? So let's forget the cooking, because, you know, When I closed my first restaurant, I had a nightmare about them taking out all my cooking equipment, because one of the things that I had to learn was that I wasn't the food that I cooked, I wasn't the restaurant, and I wasn't really the people who were eating the food. So, but what was my belief about that was about that my self-worth came from my ability to help other people heal. That my self-worth was contingent upon me helping other people or saving other people. So do you see where you're really looking for something deeper than about what you're even doing at this moment in your life?
Yeah.
So, and you might have to sit with this, and it might come clearer when we do our journey, but the take away the food and, you know, and all of that, because there's a belief that drives you towards wanting to help other people.
Okay. I guess when I just listen to my intuition, which I should do, I feel that I have something beautiful that I'm supposed to share with the world. I just don't know yet what it is.
Okay.
It's not in the healing capacity. I think that's I've set myself up and put myself in that box.
Well, and the thing is it's, again, don't be judgmental about it, because look at, you use this healing system to cure yourself of a disease, right? So that you could possibly show up to be of service in another way in your life. But right. Look down deeper what core beliefs you might have had to work with in order to heal yourself.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. So that's where you're working. All right. Does this kind of give you two examples where the service equals sacrifice, maybe one that's not quite so clear, and then one that, you know, is a, where she can really probably see that she's, you know, leading herself by her nose with this belief. Do we have time probably for one more quick one if somebody else wants to share?
Renee, can I jump in? Can you hear
yes.
me? Oh, you can hear me.
So yes.
I'm driving, so please all be patient with me. I don't know how this is going to go, but my big, deep, dark core belief is that I am not worthy. And I share some other beliefs, but I feel like that's at the root of what holds me back from other feelings of beliefs that, you know, have been with me for almost my whole lifetime.
That's great. So Elizabeth, what I'd recommend is looking in your life where you're living, you know, write down like five things of how you're living this belief, how you really hold, like examples of what you do to really reinforce this belief that you're not worthy, and examples of what you do to reinforce, you know, trying to fight against this unworthiness of things, you steps you take to counteract that belief. And I don't want you to do it while you're driving, please.
Right, but can we be, okay, so like here's a specific, like I love the question you asked Bridget, like an example. So here's an example, because I want to play with and grow from those exercises. So the recent example is for many months, I have been fixated on it's time for me to move. And it's because my housing situation soured when new neighbors moved upstairs. And I'm so highly sensitive that their presence and their dog is really, it's unsettling me. But in the last 2 weeks, I came to the conclusion that I don't have all my ducks lined up, and I can't, and I don't mean just financially, but I can't afford to move. So it's tied into the, like, I am not worthy to live in a home that is nourishing to me and that then nourish and bring forth my gifts into the world.
Okay, so then you could look at, in terms of the unworthiness, is places that you've spent money that probably you could have put towards the down payment and the, you know, the moving. You know, that...
Yeah.
Forces that you should stay here, and then look at the steps that you're actually taking to put aside the money and get yourself organized to move.
Yes.
And look at which is, you know, how are they supporting each other with this? So if you think of the unworthiness as the seesaw, as the, you know, the stable in the middle of the seesaw, and look at what you're doing and what you're not doing that supports this unworthiness idea all the way along. And you're going to have to come back here, because I don't really want you to do the meditation while you're driving that we're going to jump into. But you can come back and do that. But that's a good one. So for you, it would be great for you to make your goal for this work for the next couple of months is to look, and this comes at the end of this, so I don't want to jump ahead, but, you know, what is the big goal that you're going to set for yourself at the end of this worthiness exercise today? And for you, it might be to find a house that matches my insides. Your new insides. Okay? Because we want to set these big, broad goals. I want to know exactly what I'm going to do and how I'm going to deliver my message in the world. Meanwhile, I'm stuck here. You know, so goals have to be in, we can have big broad visions, but they have to be incremental. But as long as that our vision or our goal is set in an old limiting belief, like why on earth would I go out and look for a new relationship if I believe because of all of the things that I'm going to be alone forever? I'm not putting my foot forward into that direction. So my goal would be like, okay, I have to decide, do I really want to be alone? And if not, how do I bring more relationships into my life? And chunk it down.
Yes.
Understood. I can't solve the whole thing. I'm just going to take one little bite of that elephant. All right.
That's an analogy. Thank you. Thank you, Renee.
All right. So we're going to move on here. And so we're going to do, and you'll get these slides so everyone can go back. So what we're going to do here is we're going to, and please everyone get in your groups and talk about this and really flush it out. And people with more experience, you know, put that mirror in people's face. Like, you know, it could be a gentle mirror, not like me, but it could be a mirror so that you put it, so somebody might really be reflected back that, I don't know if that's a belief. Let's get below that and really flush this stuff out because, like I said, this is a group process and you are all going to, you know, thrive as we grow together. And this is what we're going to get to do today is we're going to do this living the deepest belief exercise where I'm going to pull a win card for this journey. And we're going to go inside and we're going to look and see where this belief chain is, where it's where the broken link is. Does that make sense? So we're actually going to go back through our lifeline, our life map, and we're going to see where this deepest belief that you just identified right now, and again, you could have more, but this one we're going to work with, where it created a broken link in your chain. And then we're going to ask what it might look like if we change that belief. And then we're going to ask yours to strengthen this new belief. Is everyone with me? All right. Any questions quick? No? Okay. So the win that we're going to work with is, oh, how interesting. So the wind that came to work with us today, and it's just about ready to make me cry, is Dagoda, the wind of compassion. And Dagoda is asking us to find freedom and forgiveness. So what we're going to do, we're going to add a step here, and I can't change it while I'm talking in it, is we're going to once we find that broken link, we're going to forgive that belief. All right? We're going to forgive it. First, we're going to call in and do our three wind breaths. And for some of you who are new to wind mastery, we do three wind breaths. And in the first wind breath, we actually ground ourselves to the earth. And then in the second wind breath, we call Dagoda, the wind of compassion, in to do this work with us. So we're going to have a compassionate wind guiding us. Just lovely. Just absolutely lovely. And then on the third one, we're going to put a protective circle around this group energy that we're working with so that when you get on your calls tomorrow and Thursday, that you are still in this sacred space and you feel okay to be vulnerable. You can't heal with a turtle shell. All right? So let me see. I can't see myself, but I'm assuming that I'm going to sit and drum. And first, I'm going to call to Dagoda. And if you've got your wind whistles, call to Dagoda with me. Feel those roots going deep into the earth. And now let's call to Dagoda, the wind of compassion. He's going to gently walk us through this journey that we're going to take. And then we're going to create a sacred energy bubble around us all. So envision this bubble in the circle going out around all of the people who are listening and all the people who will listen in the future. And this is kind of a middle world journey. And for those of you who are new to journeying, I'll be going, when I go to call you back, it'll be this way. All right. And you might miss me out here for a minute, but that's okay. Find yourself somewhere in nature. And as you're sitting or standing or being in this favorite spot, feel to go to compassionate breath. Touch your face, touch your hand, and start to pull you. Led down a path. This timeline of your life. And along the way, you're looking for a broken link. For those of you who are 70, go backwards. If you're in your 60s, go backwards. Your 50s, keep moving backwards in time. If you're in your 40s, keep going back. Your 30s. Towards your 20s, your first decade, and let's slip back into the womb. And as you came out from this veil of forgetfulness, into this spiritual body, into this time, this space that's called now, we're looking for the first place that there was a kink in the chain when you did not believe that you were divinely inspired spirit. Here to serve, here to live for your maximum joy, your maximum potential. So starting at the womb, head forward into time and look for when that belief, that one you identify today, first solidified. Told you were not good enough? When were you told you were dirty, not worthy? When did your light get dulled? Minnesota. To forgive that, to forgive the people, to forgive the situation, to forgive yourself around this belief. From that place, look to see what would the change look like if you changed that belief in that moment, in that time-space intersection, if you took on the belief that I am worthy, that I am a divine essence of love, that I am God, that I am deserving of this moment. That my life has a purpose. And look around from that new eyes. What would you do differently? What new projects would you have done in your life? Who would you have loved? Who would you forgive? A sign, a gift from this new belief, something you can take forward into this work and put it in your pocket or somewhere on your body for safekeeping and go back forward in time 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, to your current space and time, carrying that new belief. And I'm going to call you back, but stay with your eyes closed because we're going to ask yours to reinforce and blow this belief into you. So call upon Eurus, the east wind of new beliefs, of new memories, because remember, we changed that chain. So we have new memories now. So ask Eurus to give you one vision, one word, one thought, one idea that can reinforce this new belief. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and go back and write that down on that same sheet of paper with the other beliefs. And people who have taken work with me know that I believe that what we just received was sacred. So we're not going to share about that now. I want you to hold it and maybe start to share about it tomorrow in the morning group and in the afternoon group on Thursday, and wait 24 hours before you let anyone in on this new idea for yourself. I will say that that felt powerful to me. I hope it felt powerful to you. So your homework from this is to share it with somebody else in the group or somebody else that you feel comfortable with. I'd really like it to be in the group. And then write a big goal that you have from this new belief, and then a few smaller goals that will help you get there, and then a sub-goal. And I want to remind you that How to Publish a Book in 2019 is going to be March 5th at 3 p.m. I'm trying to alternate these, and they're all recorded. She's a wise woman, because she's not only an editor, a publisher, an author, but when she takes on a project, she goes deep with her clients and does a lot of research. So she is a world of wisdom about everything. And I mean everything. So stay with us for that. And then I think that's it. I'm going to stop the recording.